Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by our SewHere.com members. This podcast and our community is mostly funded by the support of listeners like you. If you love the podcast, check out SewHere.com/membership to see how you can keep it in your ears for years to come and get fun stuff to boot.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And just in case we have to do a lot of cutting for coughing or something, sorry, it is the pollen has attacked us here in mid-Missouri.
We have had to close up the inner sanctum and air conditioned because of the pollen.
It's nuts. It's nuts. Okay. So this is an issue that has been coming up a lot in the group. And I think it would be cool for us to kind of dive deep into this because I think this is something where I've been assuming people know how to do this.
I think we think it's simple. And I remember this happening like not too long, maybe 10, 15 years ago. Okay. For me, that's not too long ago. I know you were all in diapers then, but I wasn't. And someone said to me, oh my gosh. I can't believe, like, just zigzagging over that cord on the tool. Why didn't you tell me about this? And this was a woman that was very accomplished.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, no, she had made her own bras. She'd done the whole thing. And I was like, and she didn't realize.
That, she didn't know this thing.
Yeah. And
it's pretty amazing.
You know, it's so funny that, and I think we all do this. We all think certain things, like. Or we've incorporated them into some like commonality or some sort of common knowledge we think maybe everybody has. We've been doing it so long. Why wouldn't somebody think to do that? So I think that's why we have to go back to these sort of what we might think are basics or not even basics, but things that, oh, everybody knows this. Everybody does this.
And I was just, so we're going to talk about kind of like gathering methods and sort of just get into the nitty-gritty of gathering or ruffling. We did a podcast, I think, in January of 2018 that was called Ruffles, Gathers, and Pleats, I think.
Okay.
Or no,
we probably defined
it. It's called Ruffles, Pleats, and Puffing. And we talked briefly about this zigzagging over a cord, you know, kind of thing and stuff like that. But I want to really dig in because I think what can be difficult is really getting like the physicality of some of these techniques.
You're right.
Like, what? Zigzag over a cord?
I think if you haven't listened to it or you're listening to this podcast, maybe go back and listen to that one again. I think we had a lot of definitions in there.
Yes.
And I think we maybe talked about some feet in there too that we might not address right here.
Yeah. Okay. So there's been all these questions about gathering and ruffling. So gathering up fabric is basically taking the fabric and somehow, you know, condensing it.
Right.
So that it gathers up. And this is something that can be done on, like, the waistband of a skirt.
Right.
Or it can be a ruffle if it's something that's shorter in width.
Right.
That's what a ruffle can be.
And it's maybe added to another flat piece of fabric.
Yeah, that's good. Added to another flat piece of fabric, okay? Mm-hmm. I know that we did a podcast defining flounces.
Yes.
Which are
flounces
different.
Flounces versus ruffles.
Uh-huh. Flounces versus ruffles. Those are different. So what does gathering do for us? It can give us that decorative ruffle edge. It can give us fullness in a skirt.
I mean, basically, it adds volume.
Adds volume.
And one reason you know it adds volume is it's adding volume in that seam.
That's right.
Because you're going to seam that and sew that down someplace to secure that gathering.
That's right.
Because you can't just gather and not secure or it will, you know, work its way out, right?
Yeah, great.
So basically, you're adding volume, whether it is for shape, right, or some... whatever the effect might be.
Right.
So sometimes it's shape. Like maybe you're gathering an undergarment to keep an outer garment fluffed out.
That's right.
Right?
Or you're to adding stand volume out. To the undergarment.
Right. And I will oftentimes I use a little gather of like tulle under the cap of a sleeve.
To keep it puffed up.
Or sometimes you're gathering the fabric and, you know, your effect is from the outside, from the public, you know.
Yeah, you'll see
arena, right.
So gathering up, I just have this picture in my head. Bethany, longtime group member, has just posted her Easter dress. And it has, you know, like a princess line bodice and then this gathered skirt.
Right.
And it's, maybe she'll let us use the picture, actually, of it. And so her...
It got a lot of response. People really liked it.
Yeah, and her skirt is basically just a giant ruffle, right?
Right. It's a little, so it's a ruffle just that covers a big her butt, rectangle
right? Yeah.
that on the waist end, right, she gathered up and attached to her bodice.
Yeah, so... Instead of going, you know, normally people's, you know, in general, people's hips are larger than their waists, you know. So her skirt was big enough around to go around her hips, provide some ease. This was woven fabric, you know, so she can walk and sit and all that jazz. And then instead of cutting the fabric out of there or pleating it or darting it or the pattern piece being tapered somehow, the fabric was gathered.
Right.
It was put into a bunch of little folds, and these folds might not be exactly regular like a pleat would be.
Or even.
Yeah.
Right.
Or even. So even or what did I, regular?
And you said regular. Yeah. Well, and a pleat is more of a fold.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about a, is it the gathering foot or what?
Well, the
pleating
ruffler foot.
The ruffler foot. Yes. The ruffler foot. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Actually pleats.
Yeah, so we talk about that in that other podcast. So Bethany's dress was made of this kind of lightweight chambray, has this lace on it. It's really cute. It's like embroidered lace. It's got a border. So what we would have told Bethany to do, and I don't know what she actually did, but if she'd asked us, how should I gather my skirt up? You know, what's the best way to do this? We would have told her that on that fabric and with that amount of fabric, a whole skirt waistband, it would have been a good idea to zigzag over a cord or pearl cotton is one of our favorite things. Number eight,
dental floss
is something we mentioned.
There's something strong that when you pull it, it will not break.
Okay, so we've got this skirt cut out and we need to gather the waistband. Right. What's step number one, Mom? Like, what
well,
do you do?
I guess step number one versus what I do, what somebody else might do.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah.
So what those of you using a pattern, okay, that's made from by someone else, is they will probably instruct you to, you know, cut these long panels and seam them together to get this long strip of fabric, or they will give you a pattern that you're supposed to cut out. And these are basically going to be big triangles.
Rectangles.
I'm sorry, big rectangles. Oh, triangles would be really cute. Okay. Big rectangles that you're going to put together, so you have this long strip of fabric, and it's going to be gathered at the top. Now, they may have you notching or noting, right, different...
Landmarks,
right? So that, yes, the side seam will hit here, and yes, the front center is here, and yes, the back center is here. Okay. Or you may just be dividing it four ways.
Yeah, because you're going to gather this stuff up, and you're going to have to match it to, like, a waistband.
That's
or a bodice.
Right. So you're matching it to the waist, whether it's a band or a bodice. It could be even, this could be a skirt on a band or on another bodice. Or the design also could be maybe it's flat in front and only gathered, sort of just in front of the side seam, like you'll see a flat, you know, and you'll get some puffiness around the hips and not in the back. But sometimes they'll have like 6-8 inches of flatness in the belly area because people want that to look flat and they don't want to add volume. So that's common.
Okay.
Okay. So you're still going to zigzag the whole thing, right? Over, so you take your, now they're going to tell you in this pattern oftentimes to put two running stitches, right? Two which are going to be what they're going to call gathering stitches. So two long length stitches, right, on this area that's going to take, and then pull the bobbin thread and gather. That is a common way to tell. So the problem with that is that bobbin thread is usually not very strong.
Yeah.
No matter
so
what you
tell
use.
Them what to do.
Right. Okay. So no matter how strong it is, you know, you're okay. using the best thread in the world. If you have this voluminous skirt and you're pulling, you may lose that bobbin
okay,
thread.
Okay. Let's tell them what right. to do.
So what I would do is I decide how it needs to be gathered. And then I can use my regular foot. I can use a cording foot, which allows me to take a cord, like the ones Mallory just mentioned, my dental floss, whatever, and put it in a little hole and keep it in the center of my foot and then zigzag over it with a long, wide enough stitch that I miss hitting that cord.
Yeah,
so we're making a little tunnel for the cord.
That's what I wanted to talk about. So you're gonna put this cording through your foot or lay it on top of your fabric at the edge of your fabric where, you know, it's going to meet your waistband or your bodice or your whatever this is, if it's a sleeve cap, blah, 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 like a ruffled sleeve or something like that. And you have to leave enough cord out the back, okay?
Yes.
So that you have something to hang on to. I would also recommend putting a knot in that cord or that pearl cotton or whatever.
A safety pin, a bodkin can go on it also.
Something you could put like a big piece of
you
tape
on it. You want a stopper.
Yeah, you need a
so
stopper.
So you need a stopper so it won't get pulled through when you start pulling.
Also, don't cut your cord off of its source.
No.
Just leave it on the spool of pearl cotton.
Right.
Leave it on the, you know, whatever. You know, leave it on the spool of cording, etc. And then you need to define that zigzag so that it can be plenty wide to go over the cord. Don't make it too narrow.
No, don't worry about making it narrow at all.
I mean, the width could probably be something like 2.5.
I'd say up to 3 easy.
Up to 3. And then length?
Length is a 4.
4? Yeah,
easy.
That would be just fine.
Unless maybe you're on like a fine baby garment.
Yeah.
Then, okay, go down a little bit. Use a thinner cord or something. But we're talking adult clothing right now.
Yeah,
like,
so
in general.
You're just like, I think that's a really good word of tunnel, you know, for it. You don't really need to like backstitch with that zigzag at the beginning. You want it to be nice and long.
Right.
And you want to go on as close to the edge of the fabric as is possible.
Yes.
Okay, you need some seam allowance over there. This would be like to the right of your needle so that you're not sewing right on the edge of your fabric. Like you don't want to sew right to the edge. It's not like you want to overcast.
You actually want to be quite close to your seam.
Yeah.
Because that's where you want those little bitty pleats or those little bitty gathers to be made and where you want to stitch them down. So the closer you actually can get that gathering, the sweeter that's going to look when you finish.
Yeah, because you'll be close to the source
and
of the gathering.
And it'll give a more consistent look.
So if you can go, let's say you have a 5/8-inch seam allowance, if you could put your cording at your, like, half-inch mark.
Right. I would say 3/8, half-inch.
Something
right.
like
right.
that.
Easy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So that would be perfect place to do this cording. And then you go. You just start sewing over this cording right. along the edge of your fabric.
Now, I'm going to add this.
Yeah.
This is the one thing that I tend to sew from the wrong side.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I don't know that it makes a lot of difference, but
I always sew it from the right side, I think.
Really?
Wait, what? Tell me why. I mean,
because then when I want to take that cord out after the dress is together, it's there. It's not like it makes a difference in the construction.
No, that's probably a good idea because and we'll talk about that part of the process later. Yeah. So you're going to zigzag over this cord. Now, as you zigzag, you have a couple of options of what to be doing with that fabric that's behind your needle. And we're going to take a message break and come back and talk about it. Hello there, you fabulous sewing machine. Did you know that our podcasts and Facebook group are mostly funded by our fabulous members? We have corporate sponsors, but our individual members are the people who ensure that we can keep producing our quirky, inclusive, sometimes slightly offbeat sewing media.
you can support the sewing media you love starting at $1.50 per month. As you go up the scale, you get perks like a universal wardrobe planner, the So Long and So Happy zine, access to patterns and discounted classes, and even a monthly live broadcast from Mallory and me.
We are so thankful for our past, present, and future members. Any level of membership is helpful toward producing our podcasts, videos, and the time it takes to moderate our growing Facebook community. Go to sewhere.com/membership to check it out.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
All right, so we're back. And I'm going to have to find a YouTube video of this. So when we talk about Bethany's dress,
right,
there's a predetermined amount of fabric.
Well, if we're talking about, we are talking about a predetermined amount right now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay. If we're talking about a predetermined amount of fabric, there's one way to do it. And then if you're doing something like just creating gobs and gobs and gobs of gathered fabric, like for right. a tutu, different story. So let's talk about Bethany's dress first, okay?
Okay, I want to hear what you do because I can tell you some of the ways I do this.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I'm going to give a brief outline and maybe hand it over to you. So I would just leave the fabric that's behind the needle, like what is getting sewn, I just leave it flat
as I went. So you don't gather it. You don't pull that cord as you go along. You let it go through.
As long as my fabric isn't some crazy insane length.
Yes, yes.
That's fine with me.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. I would just leave it flat. But once again, I'm not cutting it off like my ball of pearl cotton.
Right.
I'm
so right.
I'd just zigzag all over my cord. I would come over to my cutting table. After I was finished, I would have left a little bit of a tail on the other end of my garment. I wouldn't have felt the need to backstitch after I finished my zigzag. Right. So basically, you just
And you would have had your landmarks marked. Mm-hmm. If they gave you that
and
option,
you,
yeah.
This, you know, mom says create this tunnel for this cording. This is called couching. This is
right.
what couching,
you're couching
is. If you've ever heard of that, you're sewing over a thread or a cord or something, mm-hmm. putting it onto your fabric.
And you want to make sure that the tunnel is big enough that this cord slides easily.
Free movement
because
of the cord.
Because maybe if I'm couching, I'm holding it down in place.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank
you.
Yeah, my
decorative
that.
Couching.
Sure,
right.
yeah. It's okay to like maybe sew through the cord right. when you're doing that. Okay, so I would just go over to my cutting table then and start to gather up my fabric. And get an idea. I'd hold it up to my waistband. I'd hold it up to my landmark.
You might have gathering guides that they gave you in a pattern.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Okay, or you might lay out your bodice top or your waistband top.
Mm-hmm. And so then, so if it says, it might say, okay, between front center and side seam, you need to take this 12 inches of fabric and make it into 6 inches.
Right.
Okay, then from across the back, it's 30 inches and you need to make it 17. That's one way they might tell you.
Yep.
So it's nice to have a ruler out, okay? Or you can, if it's just between notches, get these notches to line up to these notches.
That's right.
You would match the notches on the waistband or the bodice, waistline to the skirt. So then I would start doing
and
that.
And you're using your fingers to try and make this nice and
just
even.
Just kind of moving,
moving
it along, making it nice and even. So this is where, like, it's a little bit more of an art than a science.
Mm-hmm.
You do need to get the appropriate length. And then when I started to kind of move the fabric and I got a lot of it gathered up, then I'd cut off my cord and tie a knot in it. You know, you still might have extra cord, but you haven't wasted a bunch of cord.
Right.
Okay. Which, it's not that expensive.
Now, I will tell you what I like to use at the ends, too, is sometimes a hemostat. What else do people call those? Pickups, hemostats, clamps.
Hemostat. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So keeping that on there.
Right.
Okay. And you could anchor your cord at one end. You could have sewn through it, I guess, at one end if you wanted to.
Actually, I think you're much better off if you can move that cord from both ends.
From both sides, yeah.
Because you get into it and you're manipulating that and you're like, oh, I just pulled too much on this side. So I'm going to pull it through a little bit on this side. So I like to be able to pull from both sides.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good to know. Yeah. And then this is where, okay, if they had said to leave it flat and, sorry, what do you want to say?
Especially on a sleeve cap.
Oh, okay.
Because this is another place we gather sometimes, and we're making a big mutton sleeve or something like that. Yeah. You know, I will sort of anchor it in the center. With a pin, because I know that's where I'm going to match my shoulder seam, say, and then I will gather from each side.
Okay, well, that kind of segues in. You were talking about how some garments may leave some areas of this skirt flat, let's just say it's a skirt.
Right.
You could anchor between those marks, and then you could, pull, that would be good to do. And then once you have that gathered up, and I mean, this is a place where I would use a pin or a clip.
Yes.
And then so you have this layer of flat fabric, it's your waistband or it's your bodice, and then you have all this gathered fabric.
Right.
And you just got to sew through it.
And you're like, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? So this is a place, especially if you're not really experienced with this, I would pin.
Okay.
And I would sew slow, and I would pin. You know, I would pin, and I would know to take that. Because those pins also will get kind of hidden.
Yeah.
Okay, in those little pleats.
Get those bright yellow, bright green pins.
Yeah. Make sure it's got a nice big head on it of some sort so you can see that you're coming up to it. But you may really feel the need to pin here. I would say I can pin like every 8 inches and I'm fine.
I'll pin it like my landmarks.
Right. My landmarks might be all I need.
Okay. So you're sewing over this gathered fabric onto this flat fabric. Mm-hmm. Be careful. It's the gathers, like you said, they're not permanent right now.
No, they aren't. They can move.
They can move. Mm-hmm. So you should probably be using a bit of a longer stitch from your default when you're sewing through all these thicknesses.
And basting on is not a bad idea.
Okay. So if you baste.
So if you're, especially if you're not used to it, baste on. Then look at the garment. Am I happy with this?
Well, that's another point.
And then you should.
Because it's a pain to pick out.
Yeah, it's a real pain. And then, and then use your smaller stitch to feel, more secure.
So your default.
Well, and I sometimes go back and serge that excess off.
Okay, yeah, I was going to talk about that. Yeah, so your default stitch length probably for your straight stitch is 2.5. Right. Take that up to a 3.
At least.
3.5. Yeah. Just for stitching, but if you want to baste, you can go to a 4 or 4.5, 5 just to test it out.
You know, this is a place I'd like to say something about people rushing things or worried about how fast they're going to get it done, like not taking the time to baste or not taking the time to pin if that's what you need to do. You are taking more time when you screw up. You are taking more time when you wind up with a garment that is crappy looking.
I feel attacked. No, I
Well,
is any of you out
I mean, there? I will tell you when if I was doing something like cranking out, 30 costumes with a gathered waist, I would have probably done some testing and come up with a way, okay, that I could maybe stick some shortcuts in there.
Yeah.
But if I'm doing one garment, and I want. It depends. It all depends on your standards, right?
This also, and standards might be different for your Halloween costume versus
your
wedding
dress,
right?
Way different.
Oh man,
there is down and dirty, and then there's pristine.
That's right. So you get to choose. Right. You get to choose. This is the way of gathering that gives you the most control, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I do too.
Okay. Because I don't know if we'll have time in this episode to talk about. Like the gathering foot, because we kind of talked about it in that other episode. Right. I'm trying to decide how much to talk about it.
And there's another method called a cartridge pleat.
Yes.
That we're not going to address here.
Uh-huh.
But you mark your fabric ahead of time, and it's very precise, and it's done by hand.
Yeah. So there are all these other methods, but this one gives you the most control. It gives you the most stable, framework to work on.
It gives you the most likely to not lose your gathering thread.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing about, pulling that bobbin thread. Can just be so demeaning when boop, it goes out.
Yeah, I don't even.
When you've got it like almost done, and pop, it pops someplace or goes out.
Yeah. I don't even do that because
I don't even think about it.
It's happened to me.
Well, and it's especially an excellent way where we talk about the tulle and all the tulle skirts and all the little tutus for little girls now and everything. I believe this might have been the first place I ever used this was on a fine fabric.
Okay.
Because it works so well.
I want to talk a little bit about just creating a bunch of ruffled fabric like you would for a tutu. So you're going to continue on making your dress, making your sleeve, doing whatever. Right. You've sewn your gathers to the bodice. And like Mom says, if that gets enclosed in a waistband or something, great. If it doesn't, you can serge. You can trim away excess fabric.
And you can remove. That's the other thing. You can remove that.
That
cording once you are sewn to your
garment, once it's sewn down,
stabilized piece, whatever it is.
Yeah, to the other part.
So the other thing I want to mention that you didn't, so this is something that I've been known to do, and it's especially because I've been known to gather lots of weird things, I guess, is I will can actually mark my cording. So if I'm going to go over cording and I know I need 40 inches to turn into 15 inches, say, I can sort of mark my cording at 15 inches. Now, I've done it with a Sharpie.
Yeah.
I've done it with a hemostat. I've done it with a piece of low-tack tape. I've done it with anything. I've done it with a safety pin that would go right, you know, that will hang into a piece of cotton, pearl cotton. And I'm like, okay, I need, and then I know on my fabric, well, this is 45 inches, and I put a little notch or some sort of marking there, too. And I have to get that, you know, within this mark I've made. So I've done that before.
Now, do you do that at the sewing machine? Or is
Okay,
that's what we're talking about.
I've done the marking, right. And I, you know, I've started my tunneling, and I know I have to make these two marks meet to get, you know, my 45 inches or 40 inches of fabric in this 15-inch space.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about now is when you're gathering. So gathering over this cord at the sewing machine. So back up. Okay, so that's what I wanted to talk about.
Right.
So, but I see what you're saying about being more precise about it. So talk about gathering at the sewing machine. So you started off like you did before, right?
Yeah, basically you start the same way.
Your cord, you've got some kind of stopper.
You're
going to
make a tunnel, right.
Okay.
But then I have marked somewhere on that cord where I know I can get 15 inches of gathered fabric, right?
Yep.
So I've marked it on the cord. And I know that I've got to make 40 inches go into that 15 inches. So then I mark on the edge of my fabric.
Right.
So I can actually sort of hold my cord stable.
Yes.
And zigzag over it and push that fabric through.
So there's a video. There are lots of videos of tutu makers on YouTube. And they're gathering up the fabric. I wanted you to talk about gathering it behind the needle.
Yes.
How do
you
do that?
Well,
Well,
you basically hold everything behind the needle. You hold down the beginning, right? So you hold down your cord and the beginning of your fabric.
Yes.
Okay. And then you're actually holding your cord in front of the presser foot, and you're letting your machine feed the fabric through.
Yeah, so your fabric's feeding through,
but
your cord is not.
Right. Now, on the instance where I'm saying match up, I'm going to let my cord slip through a little bit.
Right.
And the reason I have done that is trying to make like similar garments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So say I had to make three dresses that looked exactly the same and had the same amount of fullness or whatever. And so I had to do a little bit of math and go, well, this is a 2-to-1 or 2-to-3, you know, gathering episode. So that's why I had to do that.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you are doing something like Zeedee just said, where you know at the sewing machine what you need, okay, you can gather, and this is also a quick way to do
this. Well, and it's also still kind of a guesstimate because I will flatten that out and go to my landmarks at the table too.
So it's really important that your zigzag stitch doesn't, you know, pierce your thread, your cord.
That's why I mentioned a cording foot.
That's great.
Because it holds it in place.
It can't go astray, right?
Absolutely.
It cannot go astray. Right. The cording foot will have a hole or a guide, kind of like a trough or, you know,
there's lots of... Yeah, a hole, a trough,
something like that.
A groove. a pin tucking foot will work well.
Okay. Yeah. So then your machine, your feed dogs are feeding through all this fabric.
Right.
But then you're not letting the cord feed through. You're just holding it straight. Right. Now, then you kind of got to let it go a little bit.
Well, right. In the instance I'm talking about where you know you want 40 to go into 15, yeah. right? Yes. But it's letting you do it.
Yeah.
Okay? And you don't wind up with too much cording and not enough fabric or what, but you know, you can go to the table and you like almost have it done and you have these landmarks.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have done that on Bethany's dress because it wasn't like this extreme gather.
Right.
And also, I wouldn't have wanted to end up with too little cording, right?
That's right.
So if you're
I haven't cut the cording though either.
No,
I've only marked it. Yeah.
Right. But that too, okay.
Right.
So when you're doing like a tutu or you're just creating, what do I want to say? Like a crinoline, but like a petticoat that's
something
got.
Well, and on Bethany's, okay, she had a border design or border print. So if I want them to match up in the back, or I want, you know, a full whatever it is.
You wanted the point to be out instead of in or something,
something
like
something,
that.
Something, right. You know, that might be another instance where I do that, where even I might, you know, detour from my pattern.
Fudge your pattern
and say,
a little bit.
Well, I'm going to have to get 8 more inches of this fabric in, or I'm going to look funny because I'm going to cut halfway. You know, there's no way to make my hem look like I, you know, pleasing to me.
So
I may do something like
that. Yeah, like go to the next scallop, add a little more. It's okay. It's going to get gathered up.
So
that's a great point.
Be a little bit of math going on.
Yeah, or just a little bit of like,
fudging.
Okay, I'll just go over to the next scallop. Now, with making like a petticoat or like a tutu or something like that, if you're going to put that, when you see that out behind your needle, you can tell sometimes.
Yes.
This is the appropriate fullness.
That will give you an idea of what to do,
So I just wanted to say, if you're not going to mark, you know, sometimes you're gathering at the machine, you're just like, okay, yes, this is tutu fullness. This is petticoat fullness. This is approximate. Then I can go over my cutting table, over my garment, and adjust for evenness and all that.
The person that I had, you know, that said, why didn't you tell me this before, that I told, well, gather over, you know, a cord on that. She's making, like, I think it was a Halloween costume for one of her little girls, and she could not believe how difficult this was, that she's trying to gather this tool,
Sometimes
she said it was the tool is being eaten up by her gathering it, by her, you know, trying to pull it.
Thread through.
Right, so the fabric wasn't strong enough, you know, and she's like, I'm using metrosine thread, how come it's breaking on me, and, you know.
So it was like shredding the fabric, kind of.
The fabric was shredding, and I guess she was even having trouble, because, you know, she wanted to make it so full that she was pulling on this thread so much, it finally broke. Well, of course it did.
Yeah, so if you want that real tight fullness.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's
I think,
limiting.
You know, this was a Halloween princess costume of some sort.
So you could gather right there at the machine if you wanted to. It might be something you want to do. And then you've just got the longest piece of fabric you can handle.
That's right.
Right? Sometimes.
Well, and another thing, like with tulle, with the tutu, you do more than one layer.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I say more than one layer, here's another thing that I like. Don't cut two layers.
Yes.
Cut one layer twice as long as you want it, fold it over, and then sew on that folded, because now you have secured the edges of that slippery, you know, mostly escaping fabric. So you had that fold stabilizes those fabrics together.
Okay, so you've got two layers that you're gathering at the same time.
Right.
And then the other thing I wanted to say is, this is where I might go away from some pattern instructions. Let's pretend we got a pattern for a petticoat, and it's two layers of, like, tulle ruffles near the hem to keep my 50s, you know, rockabilly dress out.
Rockabilly.
You know.
I didn't even know that was a word.
That's a word.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so let's pretend that you have
And I am of the 50s, but go ahead.
So if you have...
I must be rockabilly.
Let's pretend they have you... This is going to be... These measurements are wrong. These are just pretend numbers. Let's say they have you, like, cut two 40-inch long pieces, and they want you to gather one and gather the other, or something like that, or like 5 40-inch pieces.
I can tell you what I'd do with that right away.
Tell us what you do with that.
Well, I'd get myself an 80-inch piece if I can get a long-running piece. Why would I make a seam?
Okay, or seam together what you need.
Right.
Make a big, huge, long ruffle.
Yeah, just make one.
And then cut it up, right? Okay, that's what I wanted to say.
Okay, so I had a award-winning costume concept, right?
It won,
won many awards.
Uh-huh.
Won awards twice because I reused costume.
Because they wore them twice.
And I don't know if you remember, Don't Tell Mama.
I remember.
And
I know exactly
the
what you're
girls.
Talking about.
Okay, so I had these petticoats. I think I've even talked about these before. And they went under the dresses. And they were in three colors, but each petticoat only had two colors. So,
yes.
Like if you had a pink petticoat, you could have a green or a blue ruffle, right? And all those other combinations of, right? So, what do you think I did, Mallory?
Just made.
These were circle skirts.
Circle skirts with a ruffle at the hem.
Right.
You just made a gigantor ruffle.
I made ruffles beyond, and I did calculate this. I did some samples, you know, and I was
You got to do that,
and
right?
I was like, okay, I have 10 skirts, and, you know, the bottom of the biggest skirt, because the
different
taller
sizes.
Girl is going to have a bigger diameter, right? So the longest skirt would be, you know, longest I need on the skirt is 40 inches, say.
Uh-huh.
I think it was more than that. It was more like 60.
40 is a good number
but
for us to
But
40
is a nice number to divide in
out.
Four. I needed 10. So I needed 10 40-inch pieces.
Yeah.
Right? That was 400
inches.
And I, you know, probably divided that into yards or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So what I did is I did exactly what you just said. I took these eight or 10 inches, I can't remember, ruffles.
Yeah.
That's how long they were,
uh-huh.
right?
How wide.
Wide.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Actually what I did with these, okay, was I did a rolled hem on each edge.
Yeah.
So I had this long, long miles of fabric with a rolled hem on each edge. And then I went back from the top like an inch and a half, and I gathered there.
Yeah.
And I just gathered and gathered and gathered and gathered and gathered and gathered. And then I had my however many, you know, my 30 yards of gathered ruffle,
uh-huh.
right, or whatever. And I did not close my circle skirt,
uh-huh.
right? I just sewed it onto the bottom because I had one seam in my circle skirt,
okay.
correct? And that was because of the width of the fabric. I had to have a seam anyway. So, but it was good because I needed an opening in the back anyway. So that one seam, you know, worked perfectly. Okay. So I just sewed it. I top stitched it on. You know, I finished the circle skirt hem by just doing like a 3-thread narrow or something
uh-huh.
that would keep it from. These were out of taffeta, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really bright fabric. It was really cool. And it went under a black dress. And I just top stitched that ruffle right onto the edge of that circle skirt.
So you left your cord in.
I think so.
Yeah. So
can't remember. Well, yeah. Yeah.
You used a matching cord.
Yeah.
Made up your ruffle, and then you like zigzagged right over it again.
Well, the cord was on the bottom. I don't think I took anything.
Yeah,
out.
You didn't take it out. So you just
zigzagged. It's a costume.
Right. So you just zigzagged right over
and
it.
And then, you know, I cut it. Where at the beginning, I cut it at the end, and then I just made the seam all the way through.
Yeah, so these ruffles, if you're having trouble picturing it, they're a little bit of a double-sided ruffle. It's like, it's applied on top of the hem of the circle skirt, and there's like little ruffling
at the
top.
There was a little ruffle at the top.
And then ruffle at the bottom.
Right. And, you know, these were flashy costumes.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was a 10-inch ruffle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But had I, like, done each... I believe there were 33 girls in this number.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine attempting that. But, you know, I had this concept of what I wanted to look like, and then I had to go to, how will I do this?
Hey, this is a really good point. You can zigzag over this cording in the middle of a piece of fabric if you're looking for
right.
that kind of
ruffle.
So
if you want to gather in the middle,
right.
gather in the middle. If you want to gather to the end, like I Like Mallory said, I wound up with this little ruffle at the top.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the tops you made for show choir, the white, you know, the patriotic looking tops. Didn't they have like ruffles in the front?
No, it was all sequins.
Okay. So I'm just making that
there
up.
There were no ruffles. So they had a peplum. They all had peplums.
So if you're looking to gather anywhere, you could do that. And if you zigzag over that cord on the wrong side of the fabric, it can be hidden, and then you can top stitch that down onto your garment. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, like, you know, a ruffle that is put on, and then, okay, rolled edge for the edge of a ruffle, the rolled edge on your serger is such a good option.
Yep.
For, you know, most of the time to create a ruffle, you are using a lighter weight fabric so you can get that volume. I mean, not all the time, you know, certainly, but that three thread rolled edge is so fast and so perfect.
It's done. Yes. You know, you spit it. I mean, I sat there and got bored, felt like I needed to, be doing something else because I was just running the edge through.
And instead of serging and then top stitching,
right,
or rolling it on the sewing machine.
Well,
versus...
and I did it all at once. And then by the time I applied that ruffle, you know, like the work was done.
Oh, just a note for Fred. So she made like, what, 3 pairs of jeans?
Yeah.
She was like, assembly line sewing can seem so unsatisfying, but I know I'm gonna be so happy.
Right.
So it's kind of like that. You're like, oh my gosh. And, but then all of a sudden, 33 skirts are finished.
You know? You can't make, you know, if you make 33 skirts without an assembly line, you'll go even crazier.
Right. But then all, you know, all of a sudden, okay, I made, what did she have to make? You know, 32 belt loops or something, you know, and then all of a sudden, 3 pairs of jeans, you know, so you make hundreds of yards of ruffle, but then the skirts start being completely finished, you know, when you're doing your last step. So, yeah, zigzagging over this cord can give you that control to make sure that your ruffles aren't going to break and that you're not going to, you know, have an issue. But, yeah, I don't think I've used a different ruffling technique. When I say it gives you the most control, what comes to mind is how the gathering foot, both on a sewing machine and a serger, and even the ruffler/pleating foot, it's like you don't know what you're going
to get.
Right,
and those, again, that is one where you have to make your ruffle and then apply it, like you make extra ruffle.
Well,
whatever,
you can apply at the same time.
Well, that's true,
with the
too,
gathering
but you
feet.
Have to make sure you have enough length
that's
to get
right.
that applied to that flat piece.
That's right.
The other thing about the cording, especially on home deck, you cannot you can't pull a bobbin thread and gather on something that's home deck. You need something that's a much heavier, much stronger thing to gather onto.
Okay, so let's I think people like the long episodes. I don't know if Sam or I like the long episodes because we have to do the post production work, but I want to touch really briefly on the gathering feet for the sewing machine and the serger. Okay? So you can gather fabric just by sewing on it on your sewing machine by lengthening the stitch.
Right.
And then you turn up the top tension. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Instructions for this will be in your manual or with the gathering foot that you buy.
Right.
Okay.
But your gathering foot will suggest some
settings.
Ranges or settings.
And you can mess with it.
Right.
And that's basically like, normally you wouldn't want this to happen. It's distorting the fabric, right?
Well, and on your, I believe on the serger, it also tells you to change your differential feed.
Okay, on the serger, you don't mess with tension. I think you only mess with differential feed.
Oh, yeah, okay. You're right. It is.
Okay,
just,
so I was going to go over to section.
Yeah,
so
right.
on the sewing machine and the serger, you have these ways of gathering. And on the serger, it's differential feed. We have a, I wrote a really nice blog post about that. you can do these things with your normal foot, right? You can just sew on the fabric and make a ruffle, and that's what will happen. The gathering feet that are available for the sewing machine and the serger, what they do is they create this barrier.
Right, they utilize the feed dogs.
Yes, but they create a barrier where you can seam and ruffle at the same time a piece of flat fabric to a piece of fabric that's getting gathered.
So you can attach a ruffle. You take two pieces of flat fabric, and one begins to ruffle or gather or puff.
Yep.
And it attaches onto the lower piece of fabric.
It's actually the upper.
The upper
doesn't gather. The one to where the feed dog gathers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you attach... gets gathered, sewn, attached to the flat piece at the same time.
That's right.
And again, another calculation, which is a guesstimate.
This is what I wanted to say. This is where you do not know what you're going to get. Okay. You have to give yourself just like a bunch of extra fabric. It would not be appropriate for Bethany's skirt under her dress.
Right.
She can't cut out her pattern pieces and then just run them through the gathering foot and expect it to gather up the right amount.
Now, what I do on this is test.
Uh-huh.
And I cut myself strips of my fabric.
Yep.
And a lot of times what I would do is take a 10 or 12 inch strip of flat.
Uh-huh.
Right?
And run it through.
Or I would take a 10 or 12 inch strip of flat. Uh-huh. And I would take a 30 inch strip of top or bottom, actually. Excuse me. So the one that's going to be gathered, I would make it 2 to 3 times as long as the bottom one. So if you don't want to make it 12 inches, make it 6 and make the other one 12 inches or whatever. How? And I would see how it attached.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. If I have some leftover, I'll mark that and I can take that stitching out and I can say, oh, this gathered 9 inches onto 4 inches.
Yeah.
That's my guesstimate ratio. Because, and just cut yourself more. But you know, do that a couple times. If it comes out the same, okay, good. Then you have an idea, okay, at least some idea of what kind of yardage you're going to need.
So these feet are appropriate for adding decorative ruffles. They're not appropriate for using with like a pattern piece that needs to be gathered a certain amount. I've seen people try to do that.
The predetermined stuff, you're going to pretty much have to do by hand with some sort of hand gathering method that you can readjust, right, when you're matching it up to the pattern piece.
Now, Evie Hawkins, she released a tiered little girl's skirt where it's just strips and strips of fabric all put together with the gathering foot, and it makes this twirly skirt. You know?
And that's how I've often made petticoats.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so that's just a garment that isn't super fitted, where you're just getting volume, and that's great. You know, so that's fine. But once again, these are the less precise methods that are out there, and they can be useful. But the
gathering, you just have to think through application again, which is. We just talked about this in something else we did. I think it was one of our live broadcasts. This is the method. This is one of the tools, the methods you have to use. How will it apply to this project? Or will it not apply to this project?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So just be aware, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, I have to gather up this waistband. Can I use my gathering foot? No. You know, most of the time, not. So the words get put onto the pieces of equipment, and then people think that they can help them accomplish every instance of that task, I guess, is what I'm saying. Right.
What it is, I mean, all of this stuff can be done by hand or by, you know, some sort of manipulation by hand. And someone's developed a foot or a tool to otherwise do it. It might not work in every application.
I'm thinking of Zelda has this shirt. She calls it her Halloween shirt because it has Halloween stuff on it.
But she wants to wear it all the time.
She wants to wear it all the time. And it's
Halloween is every day for Zelda.
That's right. And it's getting too big, or getting too big for her. It's getting too small for her. It's getting short. And so I am thinking about just adding a little skirt on the bottom of it. This would be a place where I could just cut sequin fabric way longer than I think I need it, and I could put it on with that ruffling foot and just get her, okay, this is gathered. Now, I could zigzag over some cord, but like I don't care that much, and I'm not trying to get a perfect ratio here. I'm just trying to get some fun length on it. You know, I'm not trying to get specific volume. Okay, so yeah, I think it was worth it to bring up those other feet and how they can work into this. But if you are trying to make a standalone ruffle, the techniques that actually ruffle fabric the techniques that ruffle fabric, they stand apart from the feet, okay? You can gather fabric on your sewing machine without the gathering foot.
Right.
You can gather
on your serger using a cord also.
Whoa.
Okay.
I kind of forgot about
that. It could be on the edge of your fabric, right? You want to make sure not to pierce that cord, but you can do it.
Sorry to laugh. I was like, I totally forgot about it. So would you use the elastic foot that's got that channel?
I do.
For the, or do you just actually feed it through?
That's like the only thing I use the elastic foot for. I never use it for elastic application. It's terrible. But yes, now if you can gather in the center of the fabric, but you have to fold the fabric.
Yeah, you have to make a fold.
You have to make sure your knife is dropped.
Right.
Right. Because you don't want to cut or sew through any fabric and or cording.
I just like wouldn't do that.
Wouldn't do what?
Wouldn't gather in the middle of my fabric with my serger.
It seems like
it's just
as easy to do it on your machine in that instance.
No, but you can create. In fact, where the kind of a decorative purpose for that we did was we made those roses, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of nice. And that can be done
on knit and a woven fabric.
Okay, Mom just threw that. She just threw the curveball in there just to blow your mind. You can also.
So everybody, run to your serger. See what it'll do.
So don't pierce it, right? It's got to get in that.
Make sure. Big thing is that cord is in a tunnel that it can move through.
Cording tunnel. Lengthen your stitch so it's not too tight.
You're making a casing of thread.
Yes. All right. So I hope that helps just explore this issue of gathering, and maybe it will help some people. Feel free to gather over a piece of cording with your zigzag stitch. It's going to make your life so fabulous.
And if somebody would ask me, what type of cording do you zigzag over?
Yeah.
All of them. Like anything I've gathered over
around.
Fishing line, I've gathered over dental floss, I've gathered over string, like kitchen string.
You can use whatever you want, culinary, sew
your turkey up string. I've done it over cotton. I've done it over gimp. Gimp is a big favorite of mine gathering over.
The pearl cotton has been kind of my standby for it.
It's because you've had a lot of it.
It's just always been available.
We've always had it available,
available to me.
Pearl cotton we use a lot because it's here.
Yes.
And I've even used buttonhole thread.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Especially waxed buttonhole thread because it's stiff and it's strong and,
doesn't break. That's a good point. Okay. Well, thank you all for listening so much. We appreciate everyone who listens every week. And Mom, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.